following is a presentation of Inspire Church of Skagit Valley.
As we continue to honor the Lord here. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. We're talking about the names of Jesus as prophesied by this incredible old prophet by the name of Isaiah. If you've never read the book of Isaiah, I would challenge you to read the book of Isaiah. It's fascinating to read the prophetic words that come out of there that apply to us today. We talked a little bit last week about the title, Wonderful Counselor, and I shared with you some thoughts about the Wonderful Counselor being the ideal or the divine problem solver, okay? Wonderful in all the things that God does and the process. He knows so much. He's omnipotent. He's omniscient. He can bring those things together and be a wonderful counselor. So every problem that we have can be solved simply by going to Jesus. We took that because that's who he is. We talked a little bit about that. Matthew chapter 11, a key verse here was that, "Come unto me, all you who are heavy laden, and what? I will give you rest. Bring your problem to me. Bring your issues to me. I will take care of it. I will help you in it." And that's the tremendous thing about Jesus being our wonderful counselor. He's able to take all those problems. I found this particular phrase, and I just really, really liked it. I thought, this is so good. We need to stop talking about our problems to people and start talking to our problems about our God. Why? Because he's our wonderful counselor. Talk to him about our problems. He's a problem solver. Someone gave this bag to me this week. I thought that was pretty cool. I'm not going to tell you what was in it, okay? He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, from Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Let's read it together, if you put it on the screen for me. And here it is. Isaiah 9, let's follow it. Here's, again, this prophet, thousands of years ago, prophesied about the coming of the Messiah. It was, "For unto us a child is born, a son is given, and the government..." Now remember, he had no idea of these things happening, but he was speaking into existence, okay? Powerful prophetic word here we'll talk about more in a second. "And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness." Now, remember something. Isaiah really was around the same time of David, okay? So he wasn't even knowing about all of the sequence of events here. Totally incredible prophetic word. "Establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on forever, the zeal of the Almighty God will accomplish this." Today, let's take a few minutes here and talk about Mighty God. Mighty God is the next title. And again, like Wonderful Counselor was a combination of the human and divine, because that's who Jesus was when he came. He was God in the flesh. He was human, but he was divine. And that's a challenging theology to grasp a hold of, to wrap our brains around. But he was, and so we see wonderful in the human, we see counselor in the divine, we see mighty God, we see mighty in the human, we see God in the divine. So we see that perfect combination. The definition of mighty is strong, brave, and I love this definition of the Hebrew word here. It means hero. Okay? God means divine. It's to be added to the supernatural part of God. Not natural, but supernatural. So when you add these things together, I like to call this or name this, if I put a title on this, is Jesus, our hero God. He's our hero. And we're going to talk about that quite a bit. Anybody ever seen any of these heroes? We live in a crazy age. All these superheroes. Who's this? Iron Man. Is that who? I don't know. I know that one. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. You know that one. The next one. Spider-Man. Get those webs out there. Captain America. That's my wife's favorite. But we won't go there. Superman. Yep. Flash. Somebody got that. That's good. Okay, what else? Anybody need more? I think that's it. Okay. What we're talking about here is heroes. And a hero is someone who does a heroic, demonstrates a heroic act of some kind. Typically, a hero will be rushed in to save someone or save something. This past week, one of our nation's heroes passed away. He was announced in newspapers and radio broadcasts and on TV as a national hero, John Glenn, the first man to orbit the earth. Because he demonstrated something heroic. It was there. Let's look at this together this morning in three simple little thoughts as I try to unpack this thought about mighty God. Number one, let's take a look at it. Please don't go to sleep on this thought here. The theology of this. Thank you. Yeah, okay. An Old Testament commentary said this: the Messiah shall be called the strength of God or strong God. Listen, divine hero. In order by his name to remind the people of the strength of God. When we hear the term mighty God, we need to be reminded of the strength and the power of our God. Do I need to remind us here this morning? We serve a mighty God. We have a mighty God. Let me just go off there just a little bit. We don't have a weak God, okay? We have a strong God. I wish I had T.D. Jakes as organist here right now. We have a strong God. Boom, 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 boom. He's a mighty God. Boom, 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 you know, type thing. Because I just want you to get that in our hearts and our spirits here this morning. What, you know, we used to sing that old song, "What a Mighty God We Serve." Okay? One of my little pet peeves are pictures of Jesus that picture him as this individual that you wouldn't want to pick for your football team. Just kind of meek and mild and quiet and like, I don't know, but I just have incredible different pictures of Jesus. Powerful, masculine, strong, virile. Why? Because he's the picture of the Almighty God. And when we look at Jesus, we see God. And we see God, we see Jesus. And my Jesus isn't some weak caricature of a being. He is a mighty God. We have to get that in our hearts, in our heads this morning. And look at the power of this prophecy. Here's again Isaiah. In Isaiah's world, there was just one God. Remember, it was a Jewish world. Those of you who have any knowledge of the Jewish background or have read this story, they have literally what they call I totally have spaced on the name for it. Someone will, as soon as I say it, you will be able to tell me, and I couldn't even find it real quick in my looking it up. But it was kind of a one-line mantra of the Jewish: the Lord our God is one. And they would say it over and over again. The Lord our God is one. So Isaiah only knew of the one God. Okay? But in his prophecy, he literally said that there would come another God who would come in the flesh. He used the same title. You've heard the phrase El Shaddai. That's the God who. Okay? The God. He uses that same El word to say, here shall come one, he will be the mighty El, the mighty God. The same one. So all of a sudden, he is in his prophetic world saying, 1,000 years before the coming of Christ, there will come a one who will be another God who will be on the earth to demonstrate strength and power of the Almighty God. A crazy little prophetic word here. Can I just, again, challenge us? Let us never despise the prophetic word. I'm challenged continually. God, stir up the prophetic in me. Stir it up in us. Because the prophetic word is inside of every one of us. And the prophetic word is there to offer strength, to offer guidance, to offer direction, to offer comfort. It is there for us to lean upon. It may be in the middle of a church service. It could be in the middle of a devotional. It could be anything. You're reading the word, and a prophetic word can come to you. And you know that, wow, that's God. Okay? I've been in church services and a prophetic word comes and the Pentecostal pimples go all over my body and go, wow, that's God. Because you know God is speaking, use a voice. That's what this is right here, a prophetic voice. Some of you may have dreams or revelations of some kind that'll be prophetic, that you'll know this is the way I'm supposed to do. If you're battling over a situation, you're trying to decide which way to go, you talk to the wonderful counselor and he gives you some guidance and you're trying to go and you lay asleep at night and all of a sudden something happens to you and all of a sudden the prophetic is real. This is the way you're supposed to go. That's how God spoke to a lot of people throughout the Bible, was through the prophetic. I believe God is still speaking today. The Bible says in Isaiah, again, he is not a mute God that sits upon a shelf. He's a real God. He's a mighty God, and he's a speaking prophetic God. This one, this mighty God, was the one, according to Isaiah, was to redeem mankind. He was to defeat death and sin, and he was to triumph over Satan. Somebody say hallelujah there. See? That was to be his purpose. He was a mighty God to demonstrate the power of God on the earth. Let's just review quickly. Think with me. Now, if we were able to sit and talk about this, it'd be fun to just chat and hear your input here. But just think about this. What if there had been no birth of Jesus? Just think about all of the ramifications of it. No Mary, no Joseph, no baby, no three wise men, no gold, frankincense, and myrrh, no innkeeper, no angelic choir, glory in the highest. None. What if that had not happened? Where would we be today? Just think about it. The ramifications are incredible. Think about the teachings of the word. Here's the prophetic word that came. You know what happens to the Bible? The Bible said if there's a prophetic word given and that word wasn't coming to come true, those people who gave the prophetic word were stoned. Oh, now think about that. Here's all these prophetic words from everything from Ezekiel to Daniel to Malachi to Micah to Isaiah. All of these guys gave prophetic words about the coming of the Messiah. If the Messiah had never come, what would happen to their word? What would happen to the rest of the Bible? The whole rest of the Bible would be invalidated. Think about that. Think about it. With no Jesus, there'd be no cross. With no cross, there'd be no resurrection. With no resurrection, there would be no promise of heaven. Wow. Think of all the ramifications of it. Would you with me? No miracles, no teachings of Christ. Wow. We'd still be in temple worship. We'd still be grabbing sheep and bulls and doves and sacrificing them. Peter would have a heyday with us. I mean, now you think about it, see? That's what we're talking about here. The prophetic word that came and was fulfilled in the coming of Christ. We sang about it. Let me share a couple of scriptures that might be better suited for Easter, but we would never have an Easter without a Christmas. Let's keep this in context here. That's why we're going this way. I have a point I want to make this morning with just these two. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. This is one of my top 10, one of my most favorite verses right here. I love this verse because it says so much. Let's look at it, and I do want to examine it just a little bit with you this morning. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. Say that one with me. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. I want you to turn that around with me this morning. Say, I am redeemed from the curse of the law. I am redeemed from the curse of the law. Did you see that? We have been redeemed from the curse of the law by he became a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hung on a tree. Listen to this. He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham, the blessing given to Abraham was everywhere you go, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make out of you a great nation. I'm going to make your name great. The blessings of Abraham, notice, might come to the Gentiles. Who's Gentiles? Us. Through Christ Jesus, through mighty God, so that by faith we might receive the promise or the empowerment of the Spirit. Look at the power of this verse, guys. I hope you can see the significance. We've been redeemed. Jesus has redeemed us from the curse of the law because he came and became a curse for us. So therefore, him becoming a curse for us, we have all the right in the world to say the blessings of Abraham or land, seed, blessing, whatever you want to talk about in Genesis chapter 15. You can read it. All of those are mine because of what Jesus did. And so therefore, I not only have the blessings of Abraham and I can live in that prosperity and that blessing and that favor of what God promised to Abraham, but I can also experience, according to what Paul said here, the empowerment or the joy or the reality of the Holy Spirit in my life. Why? Because Jesus Christ came. We wouldn't have that if Jesus Christ hadn't come. Wow. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. For you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were, say this with me, redeemed. There's that word again. From the empty way of life handed down to you from our forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. We were not purchased, redeemed, with silver and gold. We were redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus. I know that talking about regularly or talking about any time about the blood of Jesus is not politically correct in many circles. Oh, the blood, ick. But friends, where would we be without the blood of Jesus? Okay? I can't help but talk about the blood of Jesus. You think back with me and remember back with me, if you would right now, roll your little, I'm going to say this, your cassette. Somebody told me the other day cassettes are coming back in. Is that true? Just like fat ties. You know, who cares about ties anymore? Anyhow, okay, roll your CD, roll your DVR back on rewind to Adam and Eve. Here were Adam and Eve in the garden. They were naked. They were uncovered. They were without sin. They had evening communion with God, walks with God. It was a perfect world until sin came in. Now follow something really close. Maybe you've heard this illustration, this thought, but if you haven't, just grab the significance once again of this. When they sinned, sacrifice first came into the Bible because God told them to take an animal, kill the animal, take the skin of that, and cover their bodies with it. Notice, their sins were covered by the blood of an animal, first sacrifice. We see later when Jesus Christ came as a sacrifice for us, he did not come to cover our sins. But listen, somebody get ready to say hallelujah. Maybe if you're going to say hallelujah, say it right now because you know what I'm going to say. He did not come to cover our sins. He came to remove our sins. Think about that. See, here's another reason why Jesus came. He had to come. Not so that we would not have to worry about the bulls and the goats and doves and all of that kind of stuff. That'd be sickening. But to come anytime, anywhere, before the very throne of God and say, please forgive me. And all of a sudden, our sins are totally expunged from our record. Think about that with me. Okay? Incredible promise. My son is preaching a series in Dallas called White as Snow. And he's using Isaiah 1:18 as a text. And he said, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be whiter than snow. Though our sins be very evident and very real, because of the blood of Christ, they shall be washed whiter than the snow. What a thought. Anybody here, now don't raise your hand, you're just thinking about it. Anyone here sin yesterday? Guess what? When you got up this morning, you said, Jesus, please forgive me my sins. Boom, gone. Not covered, but cleansed and gone. Okay? That's the power of this verse we see here. Clearly, Jesus came to earth to redeem and to pay a price for our sins. Let me look at the second thought here. Just an example now. Simple little example. I'm going to ask you to play a let's pretend game with me. Ready? Anybody here like let's pretend games? Okay, here we go. Let's pretend. It's practical time. You're in a video arcade. Did we get a nice one up there, Brent? Did you find one? Oh, look at that. Perfect. Okay. And my favorite is skee ball. I'm a champion. I'll beat any of you anytime. Just I use the carom off the side and it goes right in every time. I win. Okay? You're in no condition to talk. I love it. Okay. All right. Let's pretend we're in a video arcade and all the games that produce the tickets that you can accumulate in order to trade in for a prize. Are y'all with me? And you go and you look at the big prize board. And you pick out the prize that you want to get. And for the guys, there's a shotgun up there. 3,000 tickets. Okay? For the ladies, a vacuum cleaner. No. Just kidding. Okay. Whatever it is that you want up there. And it's got a 3,000 ticket requirement on it. Okay? And so you go to the skee ball. Man, and you play, you drop your quarters in and you throw. And yippee, at the end, you get 6 tickets. You go, oops. Okay. I'm going to try this again. And so you go through all your quarters and you play 10 games. You go through all your quarters and you max out and you've got 200 tickets. And you go back to the prize board, you've got 3,000 to get this big prize. Okay, I'm going to keep going. I'm going to try it again. And you try it a number of times and you finally amass this incredible number of 604 tickets. And you finally say, now listen, you got to follow. You finally say, dude, I can't get this. I may as well go get the bag of Swedish fish. And you settle for something less than the 3,000 gold. And so you're just ready to say, okay, I guess I can't do this. And someone comes around the corner. And they've got tickets coming out of everywhere. They're just dangling behind them. And they've got so many tickets. And they walk up to you and they say, hey, Sean, I've got some extra tickets. How many of these do you want? And Sean says, 3,000. Or he says, I'll take all of them. So the guy says, okay, here. He gives all of them, and you grab all of them, and you run up to the ticket counter, and they put them in that little machine. You go, ching, 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 and guess how many do you have? 3,000. And guess what? You get your vacuum cleaner. But now here's where I want you to go. Here, you take them, and you get there. here's the definition to me. I know I'm being silly here, but I'm trying to bring it down, this theology, to a point that we can understand, all of us grasp. In Galatians, now follow me with this. I think this is kind of cool, okay? I do. Okay. In Galatians, the Bible said, in the fullness of time, God sent his son. Please follow this. In the fullness of time, God sent his son to come around the corner with whatever we needed to pay the price for our sins, for our salvation. Would you think about that with me? That's who the mighty God is. That's who he is. He is the one who redeemed us. He is the one who is rescuing us. That's who the mighty God is. I think it's awesome, incredible. You see, we could not pay the price on our own, so Jesus did. We didn't have enough. We will never have enough. I don't care how good you are. Ooh, did that hurt somebody's feeling there? I'm sorry. It doesn't matter how good we are. We will never have enough tickets to buy our salvation. Because our salvation cannot be bought with silver or gold, but only through the precious blood of Jesus. Wow. When we begin to grab a hold of this, you see, at one time in our lives, we were lost and messed up, but the mighty God came to the rescue. At one time, we were confused and alone, but the mighty God came to the rescue. At one time, we were bound and afraid. Mighty God came to the rescue, and we were discouraged and hopeless, and mighty God came to the rescue. Why? That's who he is. He's the mighty God. Comes to the rescue. He's our hero God who rushes in. When there are needs in our lives, he rushes in to rescue and to help us. He rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and placed us in the kingdom of his dear son. Let's close with this story this morning. Did you get that? Isn't that cool? Number three, let's apply it. My daughter spent 3 weeks in Thailand last year, ministering to the prostitutes on the street of Bangkok. They would talk to them throughout the day, and they would go to a safe house where they could come in the evenings, and they would minister to them and try to talk to them about their faith and the reality of Jesus. Some of them as young as 13 years old. She said, "Dad, one of the most despicable things that broke her heart was one day they walked into a big room, and there were a number of businessmen in the audience and a number of young ladies on the platform. And there was an auctioneer who was giving these gals to the highest bidder. These men would fly in from around the world, and they would bid on one of these young ladies for the weekend." She said it broke her heart. She said, talking to the ladies afterwards, she told me, she said, the ladies all felt like that's all they were worth. They had no value except what somebody was willing to pay for them for the weekend. They had no worth to anyone else. And here's where I'm going with this morning. You see, the value of anything is simply what someone is willing to pay. You see, many people, maybe you're here this morning, and you struggle with this whole idea of self-worth or value or confidence. You struggle with it deep inside because you're probably using this as an equation. It's on the screen. Self-worth, my value equals my performance and what other people say. So if I combine my performance with what other people say about me, I get my self-worth. Can I just challenge that this morning? That's a wrong equation. Okay? Because that does nothing but lead to a lack of self-worth and value and confidence. The equation I want you to see this morning, and this is why Jesus came. Notice, my self-worth is equal to what God says about me. And let me change that just a little bit now. My self-worth is dependent upon what God paid for me. So here is God who is saying, every one of us in this 21st century today, everyone in this room, you were of such worth to me that I paid the highest price for you. Did you get that? If anything should change our self-worth and our value, is to realize that the mighty God, when we were lost, came to our rescue because he saw value and worth in us. I love this phrase. It says, if you think of yourself differently than God thinks of you, who is mistaken, you or God? Just let that sink in for a minute. See, that's why he came to the rescue. He wanted to pull us out from our erroneous thinking about our lives and about us to give us, here's one of my top 10 verses again, a future and hope. You see, a truth I think that could change every one of our lives is God sees us, every one of us here, in the 21st century, it says, you are worth it. You're worth it. You're worth the price I paid for you. You're worth me coming to the rescue anytime you call upon me. You are worth it. You see, where is truths? Where is the truth? Our feelings or God's word? We have to look at it. The truth is in God's word, not my feelings. My feelings are fickle. Yesterday, I was freezing my tail off. It's outside. Weren't we, Russ? We were working outside. It was cold. My feelings weren't very good right then. Right? But my feelings did not change God's value and God's word for me, no matter what it was. You see, when we realize worth, it puts us also not only in our new value, but it allows us, when we realize that, we're also in a new partnership. Guess what, guys? We're not in this business alone. And I got to close here this morning. We could talk about this one, but I just want you to remember, we in our lives, the Bible says I can do all things through what? Christ. No, another reason why he came, mighty God, to give us the strength that we need for whatever it is we're going through in our lives. Let me close with this. Wonderful counselor, the divine problem solver who is always available to guide us. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus, you're always there. Think about it. That's who he is. But then again, think with me this morning. He's the mighty God, a hero that has redeemed us and is always available to rescue. Man, that's a great word, isn't it? Mighty God, my hero God. He redeemed me, so I have great worth and value. But even that, even now, I have such great value and worth to him that whenever I call up to him, he will be there. Why? He wants to rescue me. See? And I have the prophetic word, and Brent, if you get ready, song. Found this great song I want us to listen to as we have communion here this morning. And that is a key, I think, a prophetic word that for someone here this morning. I just want to say it this way. I just was so strong in my heart and my spirit this morning. I say it very clearly to you, very simply. Your rescue is right around the corner. Your rescue is right around. Someone's going to come around the corner and they're going to have what it takes to rescue you in your situation. I ask you to stand with me.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from Inspire Church. For more audio and video content, check out icskagitvalley.org.